Small.
Wow, tiny.
You are currently listening to Tiny Table,
where we explore TTRPGs you might not have heard of.
Whether big or small, we hope to cover them all.
Because we know that great things can come in tiny packages.
Hey there, folks. This is Skylar. And the following episode is our rules rundown for kids on bikes. If you find that playing this game is already as easy as riding a bicycle, then feel free to skip the training wheels and ride on down to the actual play episodes. However, if it's your first time, you need a refresher, or you just love the sound of Neo's noteworthy narration, then grab a seat, unwind, and we'll give you all you need to know. Don't forget your helmet.
Kids on Bikes invites you to wax nostalgic with small-town supernatural adventures. This collaborative story game will appeal to fans of Stranger Things, It, and E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Things have always been calm in your small American town. Sure, there's that old rumor about the defunct mill being haunted, but every town's gotta have a ghost story. Besides, you're just a kid, and you ain't afraid of nothing but the dark. Or maybe you're a teenager, struggling through social anxieties. You may even be a hard-working grown-up who will surely avoid getting dragged into any life-altering shenanigans. When something from beyond weaves its way into your small town, you're going to meet somebody, or something, that's different, alien, and new. Their appearance will set off a chain of events that catapult you and your friends into a perilous battle against the unknown. Are you a brutish jock, a loner weirdo, or a funny sidekick? Whoever you are, you're a kid on a bike. What you'll need: 1. Number of players. 2. Duration of game. 3. Materials needed. 4. Content warnings. Kids on Bikes gives no explicit recommendations for table size, though we find it works best with a tight cast of characters. Ideally 4 to 6 players, one of whom acts as the game master, while the remainder play individual characters. The game handles small groups admirably, and could even accommodate solo play with relative ease, though you'll miss out on some of the more satisfying narrative elements of collaboration if you go solo. If you run with a large group, we recommend dividing the cast into an A plot and B plot arrangement of 2 separate parties that converge in the climax. We find the cinematic formatting of focusing only on important scenes lends itself to an intuitive back and forth between disparate groups. An ideal Kids on Bike session is 2 to 4 hours in length. While the game can easily support a one-shot adventure, the collaborative world-building of its setup definitely rewards serialized play. It's likely you'll only scratch the surface of the mysteries you establish on your first adventure, and returning with subsequent sessions to deepen this knowledge is thrilling. With enough play, it will feel like the town itself is the most important character. If you feel like you've run the course of your current character's arcs, it's quick and easy to roll up a new band of misfits to explore a different part of the same town. Who knows? Maybe your old characters and your new ones will cross paths in the future. To play, everyone will need a full set of dice, from a D4 to a D20, as well as a small collection of tokens to represent adversity. Free character sheets can be found and printed from huntersentertainment.com/kidsonbikesrpg. At least one player should bring the full rules, which are available in print and PDF on their website. They also have the Ashcan Edition PDF, an abridged version of the core rules from the days before their Kickstarter, which they have generously kept on the website free of charge. When we reference page numbers, we'll be referencing the page numbers of the full rulebook. Before we continue, a few content warnings. Kids on Bikes loves the genre trappings of imperiled children who find themselves way out of their depth. The book includes mentions of harm to children, both physically and psychologically, and the rules make it clear that if violence occurs, it is very likely for someone to be seriously injured or die. However, nothing in the book is gratuitous or graphic. The other major boogeyman of the genre is, of course, the social violence of bullying and ostracization. The book provides a section up front encouraging players to collaborate on which topics are on or off the table for the adventure, and later touches on ways to include gender, disability, race, sexuality, and other elements in ways that will reward the players at the table without leaving folks feeling unincluded. Basically, only include portrayals of bigotry if you've agreed up front to do so and if you think it will add depth to the story. In our own play, we see some bullying and pubescent anxiety in episodes 1 and 2, violence and carceral punishment in episodes 2 and 3, and parasitic growth and drowning in episode 3. Preparation. 1. Game masters. 2. Players. For players, character creation is based around tropes, which can be found in Appendix E on page 71. Your trope will provide you an age, child, teen, or adult, along with a list of possible strengths and likely flaws. Pick these out, choose a first name, then stop. Go no further until you've sat at the table to play. Unlike the isolated character creation of many RPGs, the majority of Kids on Bikes character creation is done collaboratively at the table. At the beginning of the first session, each player will ask and be asked questions to flesh out the relationships between each character. Part of why you should keep your initial character concept broad is that you aren't their only designer. Dramatic questions, both positive and negative, can be found in Appendix A on page 57. What do you admire about this character, but would never tell them? What did this character do in the past that you still resent them for? What scandal in the town was this character involved with? For game masters, preparing a session of Kids on Bikes is a similarly collaborative process. Before the relationship questions, the group also answers a series of questions that establish the nature of the town. These questions, found on page 5, flesh out the notable landmarks, organizations, and rumors of your town. Unlike the relationship questions, which are fun to do in person, we recommend answering these town questions ahead of the session, so the GM has the information they need to plan the adventure. While Kids on Bikes does have a few official towns and story hooks gathered in their Strange Adventures anthologies, the game is definitely designed around the curious thrill of designing the town together. The mysteries are all the sweeter when you know the rumors they've sprung from. When creating your own adventures for Kids on Bikes, you'll need to create a mysterious happening that will upset the lives of our unwitting protagonists. Peruse the rumors and landmarks the players have constructed, and pick out a few you want to delve into throughout the adventure. Don't feel pressured to include every element of the town in your first session. Better to leave that mysterious, echoing gorge for your next outing, no? One thing the game definitely wants you to prepare is the powered character, a supernatural individual central to the mystery of the adventure. This character is played collaboratively by everyone at the table, but it's the game master who designs their array of powers and personality traits. If you've got an inciting incident, a powered character, and a location where things will dramatically come to light, you're ready to run a game of Kids on Bikes. Modes of play. 1. Creation. 2. Discovery. Kids on Bikes features two modes of play, creation and discovery. The most focused moments of creation happen before the adventure begins, with the collaborative generation of the town and your character's relationships. However, the ethos of collaborative creativity persists throughout the play of the game. Traditional RPG engagement sees the game master bookending each interaction. The GM sets the scene, the players indicate their intentions, the GM narrates the outcomes. While this format is still fundamentally present in Kids on Bikes on a mechanical level, the game encourages players and GMs to work together on the scene, setting, and outcomes. Where a classic D&D scene might begin with the GM describing the members of a tavern as the players enter, Kids on Bikes could see the players enter a diner, only for the GM to tell them, "All right, the diner is somewhat busy. There are a few folks here you know. Who are they?" Followed by players creating NPCs they'd like to interact with. While the ethos of creation persists, the main mode of play will feel similar to most traditional RPGs. You're a member of a group, you have a problem that needs solving. You've got a few tools at your disposal, and when your action's outcome is uncertain, you roll a die. Which die you roll will be determined by which of your six stats, brains, brawn, fight, flight, charm, and grit, apply to the task at hand. Each stat has a different die associated with it, from the terrible D4 to the superb D20, with your trope determining your spread. When you declare an action, the GM determines which stat should be used, then declares the difficulty rating for that action. A helpful difficulty table can be found on page 28 with examples that make it easy to pick a suitable number on the fly. If you roll the maximum value on your die, it explodes. Roll it again and add the results. Once you have your total, consult the Guidelines for Failure or Success table on page 33 to adjudicate the outcome. Given the low amount of modifiers, this dice-centric approach might sound a little swingy. That's where planned actions and adversity tokens come into play. If you have the time and freedom to plan your approach to an action, you can choose to take half your die's maximum value automatically. You also earn an adversity token for each roll you fail, which can be spent to increase your result by +1 per token. You can even offer your own adversity tokens to help out another player's actions, so long as you can describe how you help. But all these safety cushions go out the window when it's time to make a snap decision. When your back's to the wall and you don't have time to plan, or if you ever have to act while facing something you fear, you have to roll the die. And only your own adversity tokens can help you. Now, everything we've just covered applies to your own character and their actions. But there's one more person, or creature, you share control of, the powered character. This is your group's 11, E.T., or Little Green Man from Mars. When the powered character is introduced, the GM will hand out a few aspects to each player, detailing their personality traits, relationship to the group, and psychic powers. Control of powered character is shared, and you can claim a moment of control by turning one of your aspects to face the group. The powered character also starts with 7 psychic energy tokens, which can be spent to activate their psychic powers, or enhance the 2d4 roll to attempt these powers. What are these psychic powers, you may wonder? You'll have to find out for yourself. The only way to learn is to work together, play to your strengths, and know when you just have to pedal as fast as you can. Have fun, kids! Legal. Tiny Table is an independent production by Tiny Table LLC and is not affiliated with Renegade Game Studios or Hunters Entertainment. Kids on Bikes is copyright Renegade Game Studios and Hunters Entertainment. And with that, you are all ready to play. We'll see you soon, you meddling kids.
Hi, and thank you for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, then we'd really appreciate if you left us a review. If you really like what we do here and want to support us further, you can join us at patreon.com/tinytablepodcast. Our business email is also open for inquiries at tinytablebusiness@gmail.com, and all of our socials can be found in the episode description for any shenanigans you might want to follow. Till next time, see ya!